Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff. To join us on the air, just dial toll-free 1-888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. To find out more about the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, just log on to our website at equip.org. Now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go to your questions in just a moment. But before we do, I want to draw your attention to MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. It's the brand new 4x6 laminated flip chart available all this month for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. Why do I think this resource is so incredibly important? To answer that question, I want to take you back to an episode of The West Wing. Many of you will remember this as perhaps the most popular of all TV series. In this episode, the atmosphere was nothing short of electric. The President of the United States was about to address some talk show hosts who had gathered together in the White House. And as he entered the hall, they all stood, of course, and applauded. Except one. She was a Jewish woman dressed in a bright green jacket. And quite frankly, on the show, her presence seemed to rattle the president. And so he lost his train of thought, not just once, but quite a number of times, and then finally turned on his heel and spoke directly to the still-seated talk show host. Now, the issue that was really the critical issue came to the fore almost immediately. Homosexuality, as it turned out, was the bone of contention. The talk show host, who was a PhD, called it an abomination. And for the president, that was the real abomination. The PhD smartly diverted authority from herself to the Bible. Clarification, however, only served to open up the rhetorical floodgates. Words riveted in the memory of the president burst forth like venom. The first words were a virtual snarl, Leviticus 18:22. Then catching himself, the president quickly donned the cloak of Columbo and asked whether Leviticus 18:22 might be comparable to Exodus 21:7. After all, if the condemnation of homosexuality wasn't a problem for the PhD, perhaps selling his youngest daughter into slavery as sanctioned by Exodus 21:7 wouldn't be problematic either. And what about his chief of staff? Perhaps in accordance with Exodus 35:2, he should put him to death because he was always working on the Sabbath. Well, the president was now in full command, and he pressed on with unrepressed sarcasm. Should the Washington Redskins or the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame be forced to wear gloves while handling a football, since Leviticus 11:7 forbids touching dead pigskin? Should his brother be stoned for planting different crops side by side? Should his mother be burned to death for wearing garments made of different threads? Well, as he paused to catch his breath, you can imagine the hush that invaded the rotunda. The once self-assured talk show host, well, she rose rather slowly to her feet, and her face was bright red. Her quick wit, her commanding presence, well, they had simply vanished. The president, quite frankly, had rendered her speechless. Now, put yourself in her shoes for just a moment. Imagine the humiliation you would feel if you were standing in her shoes. What could you have said? Had the President of the United States really demonstrated the Bible to be outdated and absurd? Should the Bible, like the sexual mores the Bible promotes, be relegated to the scrap heap of history? Do the very scriptures that condemn homosexuality commend slavery? Should football be outlawed since touching pigskin makes one unclean? Must we kill those who work on the Sabbath? What's up with stoning men for planting different crops side by side, or with burning women for wearing clothing made of two different threads? Bottom line, as sermons go, this one was smoking. From its original air date to the very present, I can think of no more effective sermon ever aired on television. There was no mistaking the message. It was crystal clear. No matter how much evidence you can produce to demonstrate that God has spoken or that the Bible is divine rather than merely human in origin, what God has said is clearly outdated. It's irrelevant in a modern age of scientific enlightenment. Of course, the expression of polite exasperation etched on the faces of the audience was a perfect crescendo to the rhetorical skills of the president as he plunged verbal daggers into the, well, quite frankly, these pages, they had no relevance anymore. They were outdated. A Bible that teaches homosexuality is an abomination and slavery is okay? Well, it has no standing on the vanguard of the 21st century enlightenment. Well, remember, during its heyday, the West Wing was among the most popular shows on television. It was a show that received rave reviews from diverse audiences, ranging from political science professors to White House staffers, and judging from the arguments adduced in The Audacity of Hope, even President Barack Obama was tuned in. But that leaves the questions on the table. How do you deal with these attacks on the Bible? Is the Bible really antiquated? Is it really outdated? Has it been proven to be homophobic, horrific, false? I raise these questions at the beginning of this broadcast for a very specific purpose. Quite frankly, most Christians don't know how to respond to these kinds of accusations about the Bible. And therefore, because the accusations go unmet, people think that they are somehow or other accurate, legitimate, credible. And this is precisely why it is so credible for you as a Christian to be able to use these kinds of arguments as opportunities, not to be cowed or red-faced, but opportunities to share the truth and love and grace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. It's crucial. And again, that's why I'm so excited about this resource offered to you this month for your gift to the ministry. We need desperately to know how to combat this kind of what's called liberal tolerance, which, by the way, is neither liberal nor tolerant. Just sounds like it. We need to know how to combat this with truth. And if we don't, well, let me put it bluntly, we will have lost the culture. Are we losing the culture wars? Trust me, the answer is unequivocal. It is yes. Why? It's because we're not equipped. So I've done everything I could to take the information, make it memorable for you so that you could internalize it, so you could demonstrate credibly to a listening world, and believe me, they're listening, that the Bible is not antiquated, outdated, irrelevant, but it is the hope of Western civilization. Again, the resource available for your gift, it is memorable, poignant, important, and available to you. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or talk to one of our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter is CRI. First up today, Madison, Columbia, Maryland, listening on the web. Hi, Madison.
Hi. I just first want to say thank you so much for what you're doing, and I've been on your broadcast before. Thank you so much for what you're doing. It's really a great ministry.
Thank you.
I have a question. How did God take away our sins if our punishment was eternal death, but Christ didn't die eternally?
Well, the answer to that question, that's a very good question, Madison, lies in the nature of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not a mere human being. In theological terms, he's called Theanthropos, and there's a reason for that kind of difficult word. It is because Jesus Christ is one person with two natures, 100% human and 100% divine. And the answer to the question lies in the nature of Christ's divinity. It is who Jesus Christ was. His payment was sufficient because of the infinite value of Jesus Christ as the God-man. And not only that, I think it's important to realize that when we talk about eternal separation or eternal death, we are not only talking about punishment, although we are, but we're also talking about the fact that God has condescended to sustain people in existence even if they want to live apart from His goodness and His grace. So, there are only two kinds of people in the world, Madison, as C.S. Lewis once put it, those who say to God, "Thy will be done." They want a relationship with Him for time and for eternity, and He has opened that opportunity to all of us. And those who say to whom God says in the end, "Thy will be done. If you don't want a relationship with me, I'm not going to rub you out. I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to extend the mercy of sustaining you in existence, albeit apart from my goodness and grace."
Okay, but how did like you said in the beginning, like that God, because He's divine and that kind of thing. How does His being divine take our punishment in a different way?
Well, think about this. In the incarnation, Christ was undiminished deity. That's what we're talking about when we say Christ was divine. If Christ is divested of a single attribute of deity, He's not fully God. So without both natures that I just talked about, Madison, His passion on the cross would have been insufficient. But with both natures, His passion is sufficient. Again, it is because as a man, Christ was our representative. He was what the Bible calls the second Adam. And as God, His death was sufficient to provide redemption for the sins of the whole world. And again, His payment was sufficient because of the infinite nature or value of Christ in His nature. So His divinity makes Him of infinite worth or value, which is the bottom line in answering your question.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
You got it, Madison. You come up with the best questions.
Thank you.
And of course, the reason questions like this are the best is not just because Madison is 10 years old, but they're the best because virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. And this question actually drives us to looking at the nature of God and the nature of Christ in the incarnation. And this is why doctrine is so important. Essential Christian doctrine is the very foundation for the gospel. It is the North Star by which the Christian church sets its sail. And of course, it's the line of demarcation between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of the cults. Again, questions like these may sound theoretical or theological or impractical, but in reality, they are the really significant questions out of the mouth of babes. Sometimes we get the best questions, and I have seen that with my own kids time and time again. As parents, when we hear questions like that, it should motivate us to say, you know what, even if I can't answer a question like that, I should know how to find an answer to that question. And that's one of the things we provide at the Christian Research Institute, a safe zone through the Christian Research Journal, through the World Wide Web at equip.org, through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, through the research we do at the Christian Research Institute, a safe zone so that you know the questions are answered in a way that's thoughtful and biblical and relevant and useful in terms of impacting the world. Be right back with more answers.
The things we accumulate over our lifetimes, money, personal possessions, and property, are simply gifts from God, entrusted to us to manage as His servants. When we as Christians create a will or trust, what we're really doing is planning to transfer stewardship of what God has entrusted us to others. For many of us, this may be one of the most important acts of stewardship we will ever undertake. We have made special arrangements for you to explore this stewardship responsibility. Visit our website at equiplegacy.org/EPO. There you will find the estate plan organizer. To learn more, go to equiplegacy.org/EPO. The Bible Answer Man broadcast will return after this. Attacks against the Bible's authenticity are everywhere in today's culture. So take the key proofs of scriptural authority with you wherever you go. Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, condenses the proof points from his landmark book, Has God Spoken?, in a convenient pocket size, printed on heavy laminated paper for years of use. Good for refreshing your own memory or sharing with skeptics and seekers, the flip chart is our gift to you when you support the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. The Christian Research Institute's vital outreach is entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you, so your gift helps bring you more of the answers you need. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org today to give and request your copy of MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The greatest apologetic for Christianity is its founder, all that the Lord Jesus was, said, and did. A natural avenue for Christian apologetics to Muslims, then, is to contrast the words and works of Jesus and Muhammad. Other topics include, did Daniel accurately predict a succession of nations? Sci-fi, free will, and the problem of evil. What has poetry to do with evangelism? A summary critique. Lawrence M. Krauss's A Universe from Nothing. Arthur Goldwag's The New Hate. John Gribben's Alone in the Universe, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The first century AD, a time of tribulation and terror as the Roman Empire descended on Jerusalem, and the prophecies of Jesus and the book of Revelation came shockingly true before believers' very eyes. Now, this period of persecution, prophecy, and perseverance comes to life for you in a new work of fiction, The Last Temple, the long-anticipated completion of The Last Disciple trilogy by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brauer. You'll understand why Revelation's apocalyptic language was perfectly appropriate for these horrifying days and gain new courage to live out your faith in our own troubled times. The Last Temple is our thank you for your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. Our challenge as Christians is to use what God has revealed to build a lighthouse in the midst of the gathering darkness. But we can't do that unless we truly believe God has revealed His will in His Word. Let us help with Hank's new flip chart, MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, putting the reasons you can trust the Bible right at your fingertips. We'll send you a copy for your support gift today. Please call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Now here's Hank Hanegraaff with more of the answers you need today.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick note that I'm going to be next week, not this weekend, but next weekend, Tabernacle Baptist Congregation in Roslindale, Massachusetts. Again, this November 16th through the 18th. You can find out more on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Let's go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Kip in Des Moines, Iowa. Hi, Kip.
Yes, sir. Hank, I was wondering, there were a lot of us that were spent a lot of time in prayer and preparation for this last election here a couple days ago. And, of course, it didn't go the way multi-millions of us wanted it to go. And I was trying to equate how, over in James, where it says, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much, I'm trying to equate that into the results of this last, and we hope it's not the last, election. Could I get your take on that, please?
Yeah, there are a lot of different ways I'd want to go about answering a question like that. The first thing I'd want to say is that our leaders reflect us. In other words, if you look at our leadership, you get a pretty good idea of where the culture has gone. And when you look at where the culture has gone, you're looking at something that has happened over time, and oftentimes happened over time because Christians have failed to be salt and light, which is to say that over a long period of time, we have abdicated our responsibilities, we've become microcosms of the culture, and as a result, the culture has devolved, and we now are getting precisely what we deserve. The consequences to sin follow inexorably like night follows day. And by the way, I could say this no matter which way the election went. By way of illustration, let me make another point. Imagine that I smoke cigarettes every day for 40 years, and that now I have throat cancer. And now suddenly, as a Christian, I start praying to God, oh God, please eradicate the cancer. Please spare me. Could God do it? Of course He could do it. But in reality, the recognition on my part should be that there are consequences to 40 years of abusing my body, and now I am justly and condignly serving the sentence of that abuse of my body. As far as what the Bible actually says, the specific passage that I think you're alluding to in James, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Why? Because the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now, what are we being told here? We're told that we are called to pray for the sick just as we are called to present the gospel for salvation. But our prayer or presentation of the gospel does not save anyone. It's the Holy Spirit that changes the heart. And I think in a very similar way, our prayer for the sick is only efficacious if it is in concert with God's will. And this is true whether you're praying for the sickness of an individual or the sickness of a culture. God has given us over to our own desires. I mean, I look at some of the things that are happening in our culture, and it is absolutely astounding to me. It is astounding that today, the Republican Party, and I just listened to a key member of the Republican Party bemoaning the fact that we lost the election because we got into all kinds of stupid things. We started talking about social issues. Well, what kind of social issues? Well, abortion, for example. We should never have gotten into something like that. It's the economy, stupid. When you hear that kind of thing, what you're hearing is that unless you capitulate to the culture, you don't win. So the point is, you got to capitulate to the culture. Well, the reality is, if we want a righteous nation, we don't need to capitulate to the culture. We need to transform the culture. Now you say, could that be done in a postmodern world? Of course it could be done. We think postmodernism is some new invention. No, it's old. The Apostle Paul witnessed in a postmodern culture. Jesus gave his oracles in a postmodern culture. The gospel was as powerful then as it is today. It is ultimately the gospel that transforms. And the minute we think that the gospel has to be liberated from the exclusive truth claims of Jesus Christ, we have lost the culture wars.
Would you say, in your estimation, then, in view of that, just the widespread apostasy that we see in so many pulpits across America, that's the spark plug that's bringing about all of these bizarre situations that come up in our culture?
I think you put your finger on something. I mean, look, I've oftentimes said that we pray for revival in the culture, but I think where we should really be focused in our prayers is reformation in the pew. If reformation happens in the pew, then revival can break out in the culture. So where do the fingers point back? They point back to Christians who have abdicated their responsibility to be salt and light. You would not believe how many times I have second-guessed myself over the last few months of making any comments whatsoever on the air because the absolute sledgehammer of finances hit us exactly where it hurts. The reason is that unless you toe the line, unless you are politically correct, you are going to feel it, not just because pagans are going to be upset, but Christians don't want the apple cart upset either. We want our health, we want our wealth, we want our altars, we want our churches, but we also want to be at ease while the world perishes. And therein, I think, lies the problem. So unless reformation, again, takes place within the house of God, the culture will continue to devolve. That's not doom and gloom. That's just reality.
Yeah. All right, sir. Well, again, much thanks for all your work and for taking this call.
You got it. Kip, thank you so much for your question. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Daryl, listening in Blue Springs, Missouri, on Butt Radio. Hi, Daryl.
Good evening, sir, and how are you doing, Seth?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I got a question for you. First of all, I know that Jesus died for my sins, past, present, and future. But, in Romans, Paul said, why do I continue to sin when I don't want to sin? And I guess my question is, I know that Jesus died for me, and I'm a new man, and he gave me a new life. But why do we continue to sin? Even, you see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, I do see what you're trying to say, but the answer to that question is very simple, because when you become redeemed, you don't suddenly lose your sin nature. You still continue with the sin nature, and not only that, but you live within a world in which you are beset by a powerful lure. It is the lure of sin. So as a result of that, we continue to sin in thought, word, and deed. Remember, when you are saved, you are covered by a foreign righteousness, or righteousness not of your own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. This is something that Paul makes clear. So you're covered positionally by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Practically, you're still a sinner. And that's the way it's going to be until the day that you are not just sanctified entirely, but glorified entirely in a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness.
And thank you for, I mean, I knew that, but my finite mind wouldn't wrap it around, you know, couldn't wrap it around that. And I know that Jesus is more powerful than anything that this world has, you know, greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. And, you know, but I just needed more or less a little bit more confirmation and clarification on that. And I appreciate your answer, sir.
Hey, you got it, Daryl. Thank you so much for your call. God bless you, Daryl. Back to the phone lines. Tamara, Tulsa, Oklahoma, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, Tamara.
How are you tonight?
Good.
Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yes, I can.
Okay. My question is regarding divorce. When a spouse divorces their other spouse, what is, with regards to adultery, I mean, is the other spouse supposed to stay single? You know, in today's age, everybody's all, you know, oh, well, you're covered under grace and you can get married again. And I just don't know what to feel about that.
It's good that you're concerned about this and that you're asking the question to begin with, because a lot of people don't even bother to ask the question. They've just capitulated to the world. Now, it is true. If you read 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the Apostle Paul, excuse me, makes clear that if an unbelieving spouse leaves, the other party is not bound in that circumstance. If, however, the unbeliever is willing to stay in the relationship, the other party must not get a divorce. So if you have a spouse that leaves and breaks the bond of marriage in such a way that reconciliation isn't possible, one of the ways that spouse could do so is by marrying someone else or by dying, you're not bound in that situation. But the ultimate way in which we operate as believers is we're constantly looking towards restitution, reconciliation. We're looking towards opportunities for forgiveness to take place, which always takes two parties. So as long as that doorway is open, we should seek to try to walk through that doorway. That's the ultimate good. Why? Because, as the Bible makes clear and plain, divorce is given because of the hardness of our hearts.
Right. Well, I have left every doorway open. I've apologized for things that weren't my fault. The door's not open on the other side. And I don't know. I just feel like, I keep thinking of the woman at the well, you know, where Jesus told her, indeed, this isn't your husband. Of course, I don't know her backstory, and I can't even tell you whether or not my husband's a Christian.
Yeah. Well, here's what's important. I mean, I gave you the basic principles, but here's an article that I think you should read, because there are things that rise to the point of desertion and adultery which the Bible makes clear are reasons wherein divorce becomes permissible. The article, and you hang on, we'll get it out to you, is called Biblical Grounds for Divorce and Remarriage. It's a very insightful article. I think it's biblically profound and correct. And you hang on, we'll send it out to you. I'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. Stay tuned for that.
The origin of the universe and human life is the apologetic issue of our day. And every Christian needs to be equipped to speak out clearly when atheistic evolutionists confront us with their alleged scientific proofs. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts dozens of answers to the most hotly debated questions right at your fingertips. And we'll send you the Creation Answer Book when you partner with us in ministry through a gift today. Your support truly matters, so go online to equip.org or call 888-7000-CRI. Stay with us. Hank Hannah Graff will be back with more right after this.
Attacks against the Bible's authenticity are everywhere in today's culture. So take the key proofs of scriptural authority with you wherever you go. Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, Maps, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, condenses the proof points from his landmark book, Has God Spoken?, in a convenient pocket size, printed on heavy laminated paper for years of use. Good for refreshing your own memory or sharing with skeptics and seekers, the flip chart is our gift to you when you support the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. The Christian Research Institute's vital outreach is entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you, so your gift helps bring you more of the answers you need. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org today to give and request your copy of MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. The first century AD, a time of tribulation and terror as the Roman Empire descended on Jerusalem, and the prophecies of Jesus and the book of Revelation came shockingly true before believers' very eyes. Now, this period of persecution, prophecy, and perseverance comes to life for you in a new work of fiction, The Last Temple, the long-anticipated completion of The Last Disciple trilogy by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brauer. You'll understand why Revelation's apocalyptic language was perfectly appropriate for these horrifying days and gain new courage to live out your faith in our own troubled times. The Last Temple is our thank you for your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching graphics with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Should Christians attend same-sex weddings? Would saying yes signal an endorsement? Would saying no signal a lack of commitment to the loved one? There are no easy answers. Other topics include confronting the apologetic challenges of a secular culture, reflections on the girl with the dragon tattoo, sci-fi, free will, and the problem of evil, Muhammad and the Messiah, comparing the central figures of Islam and Christianity, what has poetry to do with evangelism, robbing Paul to pay Peter and James, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Without the assurance that God has spoken to us through His Word, Christianity would have no more authority for faith and practice than does Islam, Mormonism, or a host of other misguided movements. Now, you can have the most important proofs of the Bible's truth always handy with Hank's new flip chart, MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. We'll send you the flip chart in appreciation for your gift today to support more Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Thank you. Here's more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to your calls in just a few moments. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, translates to 888-275-4265. But I do want to remember something that's very important, and that is finances. Without your support, we simply cannot do what we do. And over the last couple of months, we have fallen tragically behind. We have to catch up. Catching up is always a difficult thing to do. And so I want to bring this to your attention. Those who have some of the Lord's money, we're asking you to invest that money in the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You're not giving to us, but through us, touching the lives of people for time and for eternity. A couple of ways in which you can do that: when you become a Bible Answer Man support team member, you commit to support the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute with your ongoing support, month by month by month. And in appreciation of your support, I'd like to send you a personalized copy of the Creation Answer Book, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. Also, you can request a personalized edition for a gift of $100 or more. It's as easy as going to equip.org/donate and select Bible Answer Man Support Team. Fill out the online form if you are becoming a monthly supporter of the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. Again, those who God has blessed, please stand with us prayerfully and financially. We need your support today more than ever. You can support us in a safe, secure fashion, again, on the World Wide Web at equip.org. You can also give via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Or, as always, you can pick up the telephone and get immediate gratification if there's an open line, 888-7000-CRI, and you can give directly via the phone that way as well. Let's go right back to the phone lines, talk to Linda in Seattle, Washington, listening on KCIS. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And I appreciate your presence there because you caused me to think a lot.
Bless you. Thank you.
I have a question for you. My brother does not, he has a very hard time accepting, and I do believe he's really trying to know or understand, but he has a really hard time accepting why God would ever make a devil. And I've tried to explain to him. I have not been able to. And I was just wondering if there's anything that you have written or that could maybe help him.
Sure. Yeah, I have written about this in various places, but let me give you a simple answer on the air. First of all, let's do it by way of analogy. I think your brother will probably recognize that you're not completely perfect.
Right.
In fact, if he's candid with himself, he'll recognize that he is not absolutely perfect. Now, why is that? Well, it is because God created humanity with the freedom to act or to act otherwise. And as a result of that, love is rendered possible. So in the beginning, when God creates Adam and Eve, he doesn't create them as robots who have to love him. He creates them with the possibility of sinning because he gives them freedom of choice. Now, they actualize the possibility of sin by actually sinning, and as a result of that, we live in a fallen world. Now, again, could God have done that otherwise? Absolutely. He could have created people as robots, but if he did that, then love would be rendered meaningless. Your brother wants you to love him, no doubt. But he wants that love to be freely given. He doesn't want to have to pull out a gun and say, love me or else, because if he did that, love wouldn't mean anything. So let's now, by way of analogy, move to the devil, or move away from the analogy to the devil, and say the same thing that is true with human beings is true with spiritual beings, and that's precisely what angels are. Angels were created with will as well. So they could choose to love God and serve him, or they could choose to rebel against God. Why? Because God created them in such a way whereas love would be absolutely meaningful as opposed to meaningless. As a result of that, some of the angels rebelled. They chose rebellion as opposed to relationship with God. And so they fell, and that is what demons are. The devil and demons are fallen spiritual beings who fell because they had the ability to choose to love God or reject that love and grace and relationship. So God didn't create the devil. He created the potential for evil by giving angels freedom of choice. They actualize those choices, and that's why we have fallen spiritual beings, just like it is why we have fallen human beings. Make sense?
Yes. The approach I've used with him is that, you know, God created us with choice, with the power of choice.
Yes.
But I think maybe using the analogy of love may, it may touch him.
Because, again, that's the logical consequence, right? I mean, if you don't have choice, then love is rendered meaningless. But with choice, love becomes meaningful. So why does God create people with choice? Well, because he wants people to love him. He wants relationship with human beings. Now, we can't answer why. Why would God? He doesn't need that. He is perfectly self-fulfilled within the relationships that are part and parcel of the triune God. The Father loves the Son loves the Father loves the Holy Spirit loves the Son and the Father. So God is perfectly satisfied within his own nature, and yet God desired a relationship with people such as you and I.
Okay. I'll try that.
Good question.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Joseph in California. Hi, Joseph.
Yeah, hello. I was listening to your program earlier when you were talking about the fake show, The West Wing, and the attack on the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't grasp what you were saying as far as, like, he was trying to say the Bible is antiquated, and I didn't grasp why it was antiquated according to them, and why it's not according to the body of Christ.
Well, it's antiquated according to the West Wing show that I referenced, because the Bible teaches that homosexuality is an aberrant human activity, and that it actually is counterproductive to human beings. And political correctness today says that homosexuality is a viable alternative lifestyle. Also, the West Wing president, President Bartlett, was talking about how many of the laws within the context of a theocratic kingdom are absurd. Now, the first thing that he didn't realize is that these are laws within the context of a theocratic kingdom. And those laws were civil and ceremonial and pointing towards something, and once that something, in this case someone, comes, the laws are abrogated. So, for example, the laws against eating shellfish, for example, have been abrogated. The reason they've been abrogated is because Jesus has fulfilled them. And then Jesus made it very clear that they're abrogated when he said, it is not what goes into a man's mouth and out through his body that defiles him, it is that which proceeds from the heart. And in saying that, Jesus pronounced all foods clean. The same thing could be said with regards to a whole host of other things. Does the Bible really teach slavery? No. What's happened is anachronistic modern meanings have been read into ancient Near Eastern contexts, and that's hardly an enlightened way of going about reading literature, but that's precisely what was going on in the West Wing.
Yeah, they have a specious argument. Do you have a book or something that goes into more detail?
Well, I do, and the reason I brought this up at the beginning of the show was, first and foremost, to say that I have a flip chart, a brand new flip chart that gives this to people in such a way that they can remember the information. Secondly, in detail, I've written about this and given detailed responses to every one of the accusations brought up, not only by the West Wing, but also accusations brought up by President Barack Obama with respect to the Bible. And I could even go beyond that. Mitt Romney, some of the things some of his contentions, I've also dealt with those as well.
Good, because I don't trust either one of them. I mean, I voted for one of them, but I know too much. It's my experience, crooked is crooked.
Well, the book
I should have said that.
The book is Has God Spoken?
What is it called?
It's called Has God Spoken?
Has God Spoken, okay.
Yeah.
And your name, what's your name? I'm just listening to your radio station for the first time.
Oh, it's so wonderful that you're listening. My name's Hank Hanegraaff.
Oh, Hank Hanegraaff, Has God Spoken?
Yes.
Okay, and I can find that. Where would I find
it? Well, you can find it in bookstores everywhere, but you can also, if you hang on, or we can get it out to you, or you can just go to equip.org, EQUIP.org.
Okay, let me write this down, equip.org. Oh, wonderful. Are you in your base somewhere back east?
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, okay. My friend just took a drive from out there. He said it was God's country.
Well, appreciate your call.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hanegraaff.
You got it. Bless you. And let's quickly go back to the phone lines, talk to Tanya in St. Louis, Missouri, KSIV. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Hank. I'm a longtime listener and supporter of your show, so it's a pleasure to speak with you today.
Well, thank you.
I do have a question, and it's a deep-seated question that I've been speaking heavily with friends and family. The question I have is, how do we as Christians, without accepting or embracing the evolution of our culture, all the many things that are in true conflict with our biblical beliefs, how do we, I guess, accept them in a way, or be as understanding in a way to be able to listen to those who may believe that those particular things are acceptable or okay, may participate in those types of things without condemning them, and be in a way to actually positively influence what the Bible teaches.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give you a sound bite because I'm almost out of time, but here's the sound bite. Always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you. But do this with gentleness and with respect. 1 Peter 3, chapter 15, look it up. I think that's the essence of the answer to a very important question that you raised. I'm up against the clock. There's nothing I can do. It's ticking down. I'll be right back in this chair, Lord willing, tomorrow to answer more of your questions. So please stay tuned for that as well. Do thank you, those who support this ministry financially and prayerfully. Deeply appreciate you.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer difficult Bible questions, and strengthen believers in their walk with the Lord. To find resources to help equip you, log on to equip.org. That's equip.org, or call us at 888-7000-CRI. Feel free to write us also at CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters. Attacks against the Bible's authenticity are everywhere in today's culture. So take the key proofs of scriptural authority with you wherever you go. Hank Hanegraaff's flip chart, MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration, condenses the proof points from his landmark book, Has God Spoken?, in a convenient pocket size, printed on heavy laminated paper for years of use. Good for refreshing your own memory or sharing with skeptics and seekers, the flip chart is our gift to you when you support the Bible Answer Man broadcast today. The Christian Research Institute's vital outreach is entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you, so your gift helps bring you more of the answers you need. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org today to give and request your copy of MAPS, Memorable Keys to the Bible's Divine Inspiration. The first century AD, a time of tribulation and terror as the Roman Empire descended on Jerusalem, and the prophecies of Jesus and the book of Revelation came shockingly true before believers' very eyes. Now, this period of persecution, prophecy, and perseverance comes to life for you in a new work of fiction, The Last Temple, the long-anticipated completion of The Last Disciple trilogy by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. You'll understand why Revelation's apocalyptic language was perfectly appropriate for these horrifying days, and gain new courage to live out your faith in our own troubled times. The Last Temple is our thank you for your gift today. For your gift of $100 or more, we'll send you the whole Last Disciple trilogy. So please partner with us today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visiting equip.org.